This is this canyon behind Wiseman. It shows how the it actually is conducive to actually helping you get through some of these canyons that would be impassable. And in the summertime, this is a roaring canyon. In the wintertime, it actually builds up huge off ice, 15 and 20 feet thick. These are fairly dangerous. There can be there's restrictions across some of these flows, and there can be what we call shelf ice holes, and there'll be large hollow pockets underneath there. You got to, when you first go through those areas, I usually walk with a large spruce pole, and I bump the ice, and I stay more to the sides. You know, the ice freezes harder and adheres to the sides, and I try to avoid some of those hollow areas. A fellow there, Ann Wiseman, fell through a pretty bad one this year. I think, you know, it's an 8.2 million acre park, Gates of the Arctic Park, and there's becoming more and more interest in the refuge, and there's also the string lines over there. Those things are very dangerous, extremely dangerous. The North Slope spring lines, there's almost a fracture that goes all along the mountain front. That's tremendous flow, and those are very dangerous around where the spring area is.
Amazing thing, those springs are coming through 600 meters of permafrost. You know, so they got some flow to keep them freezing.
Yeah.
Jack, it's off ice. I don't know much about it. I've never studied it. It's a fascinating type of ice, not just because of the way it forms in the winter, but in the summertime, it's an important part of the summer flow of creeks and rivers and so on as it melts out. And you've been describing some monstrous alf ice growths. Right. Have you watched these melt out in the summer too, and the progression of melt, and how long it takes for them to disappear in the summer?
How the river cuts through that off ice sheet is where it will hit bottom, The off-ice sheet is in summer looks like a great big gravel, multi-channeled area. And so there's some large areas like that on the Dietrich, and the Gates of the Arctic is typical. There's this spring flow, and there's a huge off-ice sheet below. So where the heaves in the ice dictate where the river, when it begins flowing on the surface of the ice, where it cuts through. Once it cuts through, it may hit a willow bar, to cut right through the willow bar. So the landing areas for the air access change on a yearly basis because of these phenomena. It changes where the channels, watching the Tanana incrementally change channels. Those drainages up there on those off-ice areas are continuously changing channels.
It's different year to year.
Year to year. The mineral, we were discussing that mineral before, that water picks up that mineral and carries it, and it's suspended in the water. When it freezes, it actually extracts it, precipitates it back out again. And so where it's melting, there'll be this thick, can be white to yellow mineral all over the rocks. It feels like talc. It's just, and that mineral is a highly valuable mineral for animals. They eat that stuff. So snowshoe hares and moose, doll sheep, they access those mineral sites. And so where that water is highly mineralized, moose, when they encounter that kind of that overflow, it's routine for them to dig a hole in it and drink it. And they don't normally drink overflow unless it's highly mineralized. And so they're just trying to get that mineral source. They actually access, and I can time it. The cows, moose come to certain rock outcroppings to access mineral. Usually in mid to late, early January to mid-January, as far as late January. It depends on their estrus timing, when they're breath. They use it for prenatal. They actually eat that mineral for a calcium source. And so that mineral in the overflow is a part of their source.
That's calcium carbonate, and we discovered last year or the year before that you can, there's a couple of frequencies, remote sensing, you can actually map out the calcium carbonate really accurately, and so we can tell how big those off-ice fields were, you know, in the past 9,000-10,000 years, just from looking at where how big the calcium carbonate is spread out.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, you've got the line over the horizontal line, the top of the ice. Now, if you step above that,
it's
going to go down into water.
Yeah, right? You'll get into water.
And you can get it knee-deep or whatever.
Right.
And so there's water, and we're looking upslope. So the water is, there's always water moving down that slope, and it's being forced to the surface and freezing because the ice below it is frozen down.
And that's where a lot of people that come to the Brooks Range make the mistake on the around these off-ice sheets. And dogs really have an aversion to running on ice. And so they have, it's real typical for dog teams to, to get on overflow for the first time. Off-ice sheets, they want to go to the snow, and they go right into the deepest water. And so sometimes it's not actually stepped up like that. It's just, it's just moved into the willow bar right next to the off-ice. It starts to attain different levels on the riparian area, and the dogs will dive into the water. They get the sweat over there in deep water, and the mushers all wet, and they're like cussing at their dogs, and it's a big mess. During the Coldfoot Classic race that they used to have, we used to go from Wiseman, Manitoba, down to Battles. Rick Swenson, he said he came up for that race. He thought it was going to be a nice little spring trip. It was minus 30. The wind was blowing. He got down on the John River, and his dogs dove into one of these water holes off the side of the off-ice. He's wet to his knees. He had to have somebody else help him extract his sled. Quote, unquote, at the Crevice Creek checkpoint, he says, you should have to run the Iditarod to qualify for this race, indicating that the Brooks Range is considerably harder traveling than a lot of the Iditarod.